Now, our first guest today has been on the show before. It's always delightful to chat to her. She is an actress, a presenter, and a disability activist, here to tell us about her new book called You Are the Best Thing Since Sliced Bread. Welcome back, Samantha Renk.
Oh, hello. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm actually joined with my cat, Lola. So if you hear some very loud purring, that isn't my tummy grumbling, I can assure you.
Oh, we're animal lovers on this show. That's fine by us. So what's the new book about then? I love the title.
Oh my goodness, what isn't about? So I've always wanted to write a book, and I think like anyone who has always wanted to share their story, I kind of thought, well, where do I start? You know, am I going to annoy people if I write about them? And all these kind of things were popping into my mind, and I guess I put them back, you know, I put it back and I kept doing other projects. And then the opportunity came around working with a very well-known presenter in the UK called Fern Cotton, and she has an imprint through her brand Happy Place, and she just said, you know what, Sam, I love you, I love your energy, I love your story, would you like to write a book? And of course, when someone's so high profile and so inspiring asks you to do something, you go, yeah, of course. And then you sit in bed with your cats and your ice cream and go, oh my god, now I need to write a book. So it is a memoir. That always sounds a bit odd because I'm 36 years old, but I guess I've crammed a lot into my life as a disabled woman, as a person that, you know, is a broadcaster and someone who kind of pretty much says yes to most opportunities. I've had a really rich life, and I guess I wanted to unpack why people found me inspirational and what my secret is, and whether I have a secret or whether in actual fact I am just another human being like everybody else who wants to succeed, who wants to have a happy life, who wants to be loved, who wants to have friendship, and, you know, who has dreams, and I want to, you know, experience those dreams. And I guess, you know, having a disability has always come with this very harmful narrative that perhaps, you know, I shouldn't dream big, or I wouldn't achieve, or I couldn't do X, Y, and Z, because, you know, we don't often associate disability with being positive. You know, we kind of see it as something to be scared of, or to be pitied, or to, you know, kind of feel like that, you know, your life is ended because of that. And I have definitely negated all those harmful stereotypes, but I think the message of my story is, you know, no matter who you are, we all experience, you know, people in our lives, whether that's society, whether that's that pressure from our parents, pressure from peers or siblings, or work colleagues, that we are perhaps underestimated, that people don't allow us to aspire or seize the beauty in all our uniqueness, and kind of can maybe push us down. But actually, you know, my story is, I get that because I've experienced that, but don't let other people dictate who you are, your worth, and what you want out of life. And I think each chapter, you know, I've shared very, very openly. This book is not for the faint-hearted. I talk about all sorts of things that I probably can't talk about right now with you. you'll get to know me, like, incredibly well, maybe a little bit too much. I think my mum said, wow, that you overshared on that bit, didn't you? So I was like, maybe. But I wanted to overshare because I think sometimes, you know, sitting in silence, suffering in silence is our worst enemy. I was always one of those children that you couldn't shut up. I was one of them, like, really overconfident and cheeky and, you know, like, well, why can't I say that? And why can't we talk about this? And, you know, I guess I wanted to look at that and go, do you know what? Why don't we share our experiences? Because what you'll find, irrespective of disability or whoever we are, we've got so much in common. And perhaps maybe if we talk more openly about, you know, our body image issues, or the fact that we, you know, kind of doubt ourselves on a daily basis, or whatever that might look like, that you're not alone. And I absolutely wanted that it to be a book where people read it, even if they don't think on the disability level they'll be able to relate. I want them to look at this book and go, she's a human like me.
And
actually what she's been through, I can totally relate to. And do you know what's been really nice? It's only been out like less than a week, and people who I didn't in my wildest dreams think would pick up my book, let alone read it, one of them read it in a day, and absolutely loved it, you know, and was like, yeah, I got, like, that really hit a nerve with me. And I kind of think, right, my job here is done. Because I think that's what I was worried about. I was worried that people, you know, would automatically think, oh, it's a book about disability. And it's not. Disability plays a big part because, hello, I am a wheelchair user and I've been disabled since birth. But it's not. It's about connecting with people. It's about finding that human connection and saying that we are all different, so why aren't we celebrating that instead of thinking that our uniqueness is something to feel ashamed about? So
yeah, I think you're right, and you are an inspiration because you're clearly very positive, very passionate about what you do. But for those that don't know, you were born with a rare genetic condition called osteogenesis imperfecta, is that correct?
Yeah, osteogenesis imperfecta.
Right.
And it's a bit of a mouthful. So it's more commonly known as brittle bone condition. So it basically means that I wasn't born with type 1 collagen in my body. And obviously collagen is predominantly, I mean, we have it in our body all over, but it's predominantly in our skeleton. But we've got collagen in our hair. We've got it in our arteries. We've got it in our skin. You know, like literally the collagen that some people inject into their lips or whatever. It's exactly the same. Everybody's made up of lots of different types of collagen, but type 1 is the main collagen, and I just have a defect in that. So it basically means that my bones are very, very breakable. I've had about 200 fractures in my life.
Wow.
I am a full-time wheelchair user, but it impacts, you know, my joints. My joints are very bendy, and other symptoms can include like hearing loss. But it has a whole host of, like, you know, of ways that it impacts each individual. But again, you know, it's something that I don't feel like I've, you know, been living a life where I've tried to overcome it. It is just part of my identity. And I, again, you know, I have my really bad days. I have my days where I hate my body. I hate the fact that, you know, people stare at me in the street. I hate the fact that, you know, I'll turn up to a venue and, you know, they go, no, sorry, the lift is broken, or, you know, you can't come in because you're a fire risk because you're disabled, or you know, when, you know, I'll have people engage with, like, the person, my friends who I'm with, instead of me, you know, and that's what frustrates me. And I think, you know, that's not really my condition, that's society, that's, you know, my environment. And I guess I wanted to look at that and what that means, even in my darkest days, even when I have a fracture and my life is temporarily on hold, so I've got to be in, you know, on bed rest or whatever that is. Some of my most life-changing experiences, whether that's to do with career, have come from times where I've been in a lot of pain, or when I've had to take a step back because, you know, my body has failed me a little bit. So I wanted to, you know, encourage people to switch how they see circumstances. We are absolutely allowed to go away and feel frustrated, feel angry, feel hurt when things don't, you know, work out how we want them to work out. And look, we've just been through a pandemic.
We can all
relate to how fragile, you know, life is and how our circumstance can change at the drop of a hat. And that is very, you know, that is very common when you have a disability. You know, things can swap and change, but that doesn't, you know, and we can, I call it violin days. I have one or two violin days where I literally get my invisible violin out, feel sorry for myself for like 48 hours, be quite a nasty person, like quite snappy and quite moody. And then I'm like, right, Sam, get yourself together. And after those 2 days of self-indulging in my woes, I kind of go, right, you know, now it's time to change your mindset and say, right, this is where I am right now, but it doesn't mean that I, you know, my life has stopped or didn't.
Yeah, I think we all have days like that, don't we? I mean, we don't have to cope with anything as near as much as you have to cope with, but we all have bad days. And I think we all question, am I normal? But what is normal?
Exactly. So, I mean, when I was born, you know, my sister, who is older, Stephanie, she doesn't have a disability. I was actually born in Germany. So my mum's German, my dad was in the army, he's British. And when I was born, they had no clue that I'd be born with this condition. And I spoke to my mum about it. And what was really sad was she said, your birth was more like a bereavement No one came to visit me in hospital. Everyone gave their condolences because I was born with this condition. And that angers me because even the doctors gave me a label and they said, there's something wrong with your baby. And I'm so, so sorry. And I think that narrative does play out when we talk about illness and disability. Of course, you know, my life is very, very different than a lot of people. And of course, you know, I probably have a lot of, you know, things to, you know, have to think about things more. And I do struggle with pain. But actually, how dare anybody dictate from birth, you know, what my life would look like? How dare anybody give me a label? Because as we know, if you label somebody enough, that might turn into a self-fulfilling prophecy. You might become that label. And we see this not just, you know, we see it throughout society when we label individuals, you know, from different minority groups, etc. And I just think, no, because no one's normal. You might look at me and feel pity because I'm in a wheelchair, but actually, if you were to unpack my life, I might turn around and pity you because my life is so much more,
yes,
more exciting.
Good, you know, for you. Good for you. Yes. And I think you probably surprised the doctors. If they saw you now, they'd be very surprised at what a good rounded person you've turned out to be.
Absolutely. And I just think, you know, no one has the right to judge, no one has the right to speculate or to, you know, throw their own insecurities and their own unconscious biases onto another human being. You know, we all have a lot of unlearning to do and relearning to do, and I hope I'm part of that change.
Well, funnily enough, I'm just reading a WhatsApp. We get WhatsApps in here, and it is from, it's for you. Just seeing who it's from, Corinne. She said, hang on, she's still typing. Let me see if I can open it again. She says, please tell the lovely lady who is speaking now that she is such a positive and bubbly person, and it's so interesting listening to her and her experiences. We need more people in the world like her. That's nice. Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. One time every month, you know, at that time of month, and I'm not a nice person. I have my moment. So
that's called being a woman, isn't it? sadly. Well, there's lots more in the book. Obviously, it's called "You Are the Best Thing Since Sliced Bread," which obviously you are, Samantha. And thank you. And it's about Samantha Rank who we're speaking to now, and we're selling it on our website. Do you have a website too, Sam?
Yeah, so you can kind of catch me on SamanthaRankOfficial.com. So you can follow me on social media, so just Samantha Rank. And yeah, I've got an audiobook version for anyone who is visually impaired or blind or anyone who just would rather listen to this voice than read the book. So, yeah.
Well, I could listen to you all day, but sadly we're out of time. But do come on the show again, won't you?
Oh, absolutely. It's so nice to hear your voice again.
You too, Samantha. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.